No regard for life, California dream dwindles as crime rises. Los Angeles Myra Milan, manager of a 7-Eleven in Los Angeles, told the Epoch Times that working at the convenience store has become scary, because you never know what is going to happen. The store, located in the 1800 block of West Olympic Boulevard, was robbed around 1 a.m. on September 13. The Los Angeles Police Department said the suspect waited in line, walked up to the counter, took out a handgun, and fired one shot over the counter. The suspect demanded that employees behind the counter fill a bag with money from the cash register. The suspect fired a second shot over the counter and fled the store on foot with the stolen money. No injuries were reported, but Milan said it left her and her employees shaken. She said this was the third time the store had been targeted by thieves this year. "You don't know what to expect, who to trust and who not to trust," she said. The LAPD released security footage of the incident on September 21, asking for the public's help in finding the suspect. In January, lifestyle social media influencer Mandy Madden Kelly's home in the Melrose area of Los Angeles was broken into by an intruder shortly after midnight. She told the Epoch Times at the time that several houses in her neighborhood had been burglarized during the pandemic too. "My husband and I felt very scared and unprotected," Kelly said. She said that in the 20 minutes it took for the police to arrive, it was traumatizing to be so helpless. Los Angeles crime is a microcosm of what many business owners and residents alike are facing across the state. With the November election on the horizon, the Los Angeles mayoral candidates, real estate developer Rick Caruso and Representative Karen Bass, will have to convince voters why they're the best fit to handle public safety. Crime data. In California's big cities, safety is a top concern. According to LAPD data, which is reported weekly, robberies were up 17% the week of September 19, compared to the same period last year. The latest crime statistics for the state as a whole show violent crime is on the rise. According to the Attorney General's office, homicides increased 7.2% between 2020 and 2021. Despite the increase, officials insist the overall crime rate is low compared to the state's historic highs. The violent crime rate in California, measured by the number of violent crimes per 100,000 people, increased 6.7% from 437 2 years ago to 466.2 in 2021. This number still falls below California's record high of 1,103.9 in 1992. While crime rates remain significantly below their historical highs, property and violent crimes continue to have devastating consequences for communities across the state, State Attorney General Rob Bonta said in a statement on August 25. "Shootings, in particular, remain an issue," Bonta said, "with three-quarters of all homicides in 2021 involving a firearm." LAPD Chief Michelle Moore noted in the department's most recent data report that in the city there has also been a troubling increase in robberies involving firearms. "The incidences of officers rolling into or coming upon instances of gun violence has increased," Moore said on September 20. "We are working with our training personnel to talk about and remind officers of the critical importance of their safety, seeking cover, and ensuring that they recognize that there are many more guns in the streets today than in years past." Viral videos on social media show a grim reality of organized retail theft, assault, home invasions, and sprawling homeless encampments in the state's largest cities. In a recent report by the National Retail Federation, $94.5 billion in losses were reported, resulting from organized retail crime across the country. The survey noted that the top locations for organized retail crime were Los Angeles, San Francisco/Oakland, New York, Houston, and Miami. Vern Pearson, El Dorado County's district attorney, has studied these trends and told the Epoch Times that there's more behind the data than meets the eye. The attorney general puts in their report saying it's not as high as the numbers for the peak back in the 1990s for homicides, but one of the significant differences that anybody who's in the criminal justice world should be aware of is that emergency medicine today is tremendously better than it was in 1995 or the mid-90s, Pearson said. A report released in July by Redfin found the state's highest out-migration rate are residents leaving San Francisco and Los Angeles, citing mainly the high cost of living, but a few have told the Epoch Times in previous interviews that crime also was a factor. Data reveal that only a few of the state's cities are driving the numbers up. The Public Policy Institute of California, a nonpartisan research group, reported in January that Los Angeles, Oakland, San Diego, and San Francisco saw upticks in homicides by 17% in 2021. Meanwhile, property crime in 2021 driven by car break-ins and auto thefts returned property crime numbers close to pre-pandemic numbers, the report noted. Behind the numbers, critics point to several of the state's criminal justice reform policies that have been passed in recent years, such as Propositions 47 and 57, and zero cash bail, while those in favor of reform believe the root problem lies in an inequitable environment. Passed by voters in 2014, Proposition 47 reduced the sentencing for theft from a felony to a misdemeanor if the amount stolen doesn't exceed $950. According to PPIC research, the proposition did have some impact on property crimes in that it may have contributed to a rise in larceny thefts, which increased by roughly 9% compared to other states. In 2016, Proposition 57, meanwhile, allowed for early parole for nonviolent criminals. Zero cash bail, also established in 2020, allows criminals to be let out without bail. Lawmakers believed this would give more opportunity to inmates who couldn't afford bail. Under Proposition 57, prosecutors are prohibited from charging juveniles as adults without a judge's approval. The new law also allowed those convicted as adults for crimes committed as juveniles to appeal their sentences. I think we have unintentionally been encouraging a culture to become more violent and more lawless, Pearson said of the new laws. Following the trend of reforming criminal justice, district attorneys in both San Francisco and Los Angeles were elected on a promise to boldly reshape the criminal justice system in their respective cities. Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gaskin, elected in December 2020, introduced a series of reforms, including eliminating cash bail, most gun enhancement charges, and the death penalty. But not all officials agree with the policies. More than 34 cities registered a vote of no confidence in Gaskin, while Los Angeles Sheriff Alex Villanueva also supported a second failed recall effort against the district attorney this year. The public face of their plan is, "Oh, we want to reimagine. We're going to reinvest. They have all these big, flowery ideas. Let's reinvest in the community. We're going to go to the root cause of crime and let's spend our money there, so we don't have to pay for the consequences," Villanueva told Epoch TV's Siamak Karami. "Well, that's like offering a person in the desert who was dying of thirst and heat, let's plant a tree. Does absolutely nothing for that person." Villanueva has been a vocal critic of Gaskin's policies and accused his office of not prosecuting any crimes. "This lax approach to criminal justice," critics say, "is the cause of crime." While the most recent recall effort against Gaskin failed in August, San Francisco District Attorney Chiza Budin was ousted by voters during the June primaries. The recall of Chiza Budin, this rogue, so-called progressive DA, who clearly didn't embrace his required elected role to actually prosecute his recall, should send a clear message across the nation that serving as district attorney yet not holding criminals accountable is a dereliction of duty, recall Chiza Budin spokesperson Richie Greenberg said in a statement on June 7. The turn to a progressive criminal justice reform strategy was a response to the state's multi-decade history of mass incarceration stemming from tough-on-crime laws, such as the three-strike sentencing law, which sentenced third-time violent or serious felony offenders with 25 years to life. While criminal justice reform advocates argued the law was too harsh, it worked, Villanueva said. The law, which was deemed too arbitrary by critics, locked away numerous non-violent suspects for life who committed smaller property crimes. From 1988 to 2011, for state governors considered the tough approach a priority. But in 2011, California took a turn and released tens of thousands of non-violent and non-sex offender inmates under the Brown v. Plata ruling, which ruled California's prison systems violated the state's Eighth Amendment of cruel and unusual punishment. After a long trial, the court ordered the release of enough prisoners for the inmate population to come within 137.5% of the prison's total design capacity. As a result, between 38,000 and 46,000 inmates were released, many of them suffering from mental health issues or psychotic disorders. You have people who are being released early, and they're out committing crimes because they're out of custody, Pearson said. A significant percentage of those people were mentally ill, and they would not be going back into custody because they did the lower-level property crimes. They live on the streets, and the homeless population has exploded as a result of it. Homelessness. California leads the nation in homelessness. On any given night in the Golden State, there are more than 160,000 people sleeping on the streets. According to the last point-in-time count in Los Angeles last month, there are 41,980 unsheltered homeless people. In 2020, about 25% of Los Angeles County's homeless population suffered from severe mental illnesses such as schizophrenia or other psychotic disorders, and 27% had a long-term substance abuse disorder, according to the Los Angeles Housing Services Authority. Chronically homeless individuals were reported to have a higher percentage of being addicted to drugs, suffering from a mental health issue, or both. According to a June 2021 analysis, homeless-related crimes in the city of Los Angeles, that is, any crime involving either a homeless suspect or victim, made up 11% of violent crime in 2018, 13% in 2019, and 15% in 2020 and 2021. LAPD data this year showed that 23% of homicide victims were categorized as unhoused. Venice resident Deborah Keaton previously spoke to the Epoch Times about a recreational vehicle encampment parked outside her home on Abbot Kinney Boulevard for more than a year. One of the RV dwellers, identified as Brandon Washington, had been arrested several times before. But this didn't stop him from making threats against Keaton. He rang the bell, and he was wasted, and he said to me, "I just need to know all the evil people. Is your husband evil? Because I need to kill your husband," Keaton told the Epoch Times last November. It was scary. Keaton filed a police report and captured the entire interaction on her doorbell camera. "There's no repercussions for these guys, and they can't be held, and they know it. A lot of these guys have been arrested 400 times," she said. Neighbors alleged at the time that Washington, who often appeared to be on drugs, had prostituted women in the RVs, in addition to dealing methamphetamine to other homeless people. Keaton said that in the summer, a woman was hiding in her backyard because she claimed that Washington was pimping her out. After the community rallied together to urge the city to do something about the transients, the encampment was eventually cleared by LA Sanitation. It's unclear if any of the transients accepted services. A first-hand perspective. Additionally, LAPD reported homicides within the first half of 2022 reached a historic high in the past 15 years. In the past 2 years, data also showed about a third of homicide victims were Black men, even though they account for just 4% of the Los Angeles population. This month, popular rapper PNB Rock was shot dead during a robbery while eating at a restaurant in Los Angeles. Prior to his death, he appeared on a podcast and said robberies in Los Angeles have become normalized because it's so common. Stan Muhammad, founder of the Venice-based gang interventionist group Helper Foundation, told the Epoch Times, "To walk up to somebody and just kill them, it's become beast-like, almost predatory. There's no regard for life." The LAPD reported a 14.9% increase in robberies between 2020 and 2021 in the city, with a 3.1% uptick so far this year compared to the same period last year. Muhammad, who was incarcerated in the 1990s for drug possession and gang association, said he's noticed a stark contrast to today's criminals due to the kinds of drugs available. He established the Helper Foundation in 1999 to help young adults prone to gang violence and substance abuse to be productive in their communities through group counseling, leadership training, field trips, mentoring, tutoring, job development, job training, and workshops. You take the fathers out, you lock up the leadership. There are all these young people growing up without any leadership, Muhammad said. He said in the 1990s, substances such as fentanyl and meth were uncommon compared to today. So a lot of us were not using that type of substance, but nowadays you get fentanyl and all these other drugs that are causing people to really go insane, he said. Muhammad said that despite his mother's efforts to keep him on the right track growing up with a Christian upbringing, he fell victim to the environment like so many others in his community who grew up seeing violence in the home. He said there is a lack of resources to aid those in communities of color who grew up around gang violence in Los Angeles because no one really wants to deal with them. This stuff has been happening for 40 years, Muhammad said. It's a civil war is what it is, but it's not being called that. It's called gang violence. Although the Helper Foundation receives partial city funds, the coalition is still small compared to the bigger organizations that receive state funding for outreach services and shelter. He said it's easier for officials to fund the same groups because they've been in bed with these people for so long. They feel more comfortable dealing with those top organizations because they don't have to worry about the people with the guns, Muhammad said. What we have to deal with is the guy who has murder on his mind.